Hey, it's Lori from Hike. So here in Michigan, I'm looking out my window and seeing the colors changing on the trees. It is fall and it's really gorgeous. So I hope for those of you who are in the Midwest or the Northeast and the colors are changing, that you're getting out there and sharing some beautiful fall hikes. I would love to see some of your photos on Instagram, so please tag me. And even though summer may be over, there's still some wonderful opportunities for us to get out there, do some trail cleanups, trail maintenance, and leave it better than you found it. You're going to hear more from me about this topic, and I'm going to be getting together with Basecamp Chat again. So please follow me on social media at The Hike Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram so that you can learn more about some of the things that we have upcoming. Now, last year, I had a chance to chat with Sarah and Andy Kermode of Hiking Through Life. They're adventurers, they're bloggers, they are podcasters. And Andy did a thru hike last September of the Superior Hiking Trail. Well, it's his 1 year anniversary of completing it. And I thought, what better way than to bring this conversation to you to help bring some awareness of the great things that Minnesota has to offer. Sarah and Andy talk about road trips, hiking the Minnesota state parks, what it's like to collaborate as a hiking couple, and what they're doing with their podcast and their hopes for the future. So take a listen to our conversation about hiking through life. So I am here with Sarah and Andy Kermode. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having us, Lori.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So Sarah and Andy are hikers, adventure seekers, and also they are fellow podcasters. So I was really excited to meet you guys. So you're the host of Hiking Through Life.
Yes, we are.
So first, just tell me a little bit about your hiking background. So were you, I guess, both always into hiking? Is it something that you came out a little later? Just give me an idea of how you got into hiking and backpacking.
Yeah, I'll start off and say that I got into it, specifically the backpacking aspect of hiking, about 5 years ago, in my mid-20s. I grew up in an outdoors family. We always went on camping trips, but there were always the drive into your campsite type, never the haul everything in on your back type backpacking camping. So day hikes and stuff like that. So I was always into the outdoors in that way. But I really got into the backpacking in my mid-20s. I went with a couple of friends to the Superior Hiking Trail in northern Minnesota. And we spent a weekend up there, and I just fell in love with it and have been backpacking ever since.
For me, I also grew up camping and just playing in the outdoors. We both grew up in Minnesota, actually, and just have families that are very into camping growing up. So that was a huge part of my childhood. And I was also in Girl Scouts, and my mom was the troop leader. So I got some experience there. And then I kind of started, after college, I started traveling abroad and teaching abroad. And I always found myself wanting to go seek out some kind of hike or trail or mountain when I was abroad. And that's when I really started gravitating towards wow, these hikes are really empowering. And I just love being out in the mountains and on the trail. First started backpacking in 2015. I went on a backpacking trip with an REI group to the Tahoe Sierras in California. And that's when I really started learning this love for backpacking. And those trips are really great for beginner backpackers who just don't really know where else to go and don't know where to learn how to backpack. They really, all you had to do was bring your own backpack and sleeping bag, but they kind of provided everything else. And that was really awesome. And that's where I learned the importance of duct tape. And that's when I pooped in the woods for the first time.
So, yeah, you get over your modesty at that point, right?
Exactly. They kind of like made it a game. Some of the people that were more experienced backpackers were like, the person with the best view while they are taking a poop are gonna get a prize. And they made it kind of fun.
Well, that is fun. You got to make it fun,
For your
especially when
modesty.
you're new to it. So I got
Yeah.
to ask, so
Exactly.
did both of you kind of come at your love of the outdoors independently for backpacking, or was it something that brought you together as well?
Well, I think we found it independently. I started my backpacking journey, I guess, before I met Sarah, and then same with her. And then once we got together, then we found that we both had a love for it, and it's really kind of been a foundation of our relationship, I would say. Like on our third date, we went on a camping trip, and it wasn't necessarily a hiking site, but it was a canoeing campsite. And Sarah actually ditched a meetup.com group to go with me instead. She already had a trip planned.
So you gotta know that if you're going to spend a weekend or so camping together that early, that's a big test. So you guys passed the test.
Exactly. But yeah, like Andy said, yeah, I was doing meetup.com groups, kind of after I learned that I had this love for backpacking. And yeah, eventually when Andy and I met, we just kind of just fell in love with the outdoors. And ever since, it's really been a foundation of where we kind of seek adventure and connection and communication.
That first year that we were dating, we pretty much like hiked and backpacked almost every weekend. Anytime that we had free time, we would go take a trip up north in northern Minnesota and just get away. And it was nice, 'cause I feel like we became closer quicker because of that.
So it's true. Some couples are good at navigating the outdoors together, and others decide to, take it more of an independent route. So it sounds like both of you have no trouble in communicating and just enjoying the outdoors together.
Yeah, absolutely not. It's definitely a foundation of where we've just have found a love for it, and it's a huge part of our lives now.
So I had been reading, because you guys also you have a blog and you also have the podcast, but you had done a summer road trip. Can you tell me a little bit about what that was about and what that experience brought to you?
Yeah, we had always wanted to take some sort of a cross-country road trip together, and we had always been talking about it, more so dreaming about it. And eventually, I mean, last year we were fortunate enough to take one for 2 months. We went out east all the way out to Maine, then came back for a wedding for some friends, and then we went out west to the Rockies. And all along the way, we did some hiking, some camping. Part of the goal too was to kind of do this trip on a budget and see, how I guess frugal in a way we could be out on the road and kind of show that, hey, you don't need to spend a ton of money to do a trip like this. So during this trip, we also got to hike some trails that we'd both been wanting to get out to, like the Appalachian Trail, the Long Trail, some other trails in the Rockies. And it was a great experience. We did some backpacking for a couple nights on each of those trails.
Yeah, and going off being frugal, like this was a year-long planned road trip because we were saving all kinds of food that we found that was on sales at grocery stores and just really planning for how we were going to budget while we were out on the road. So, and it was also a really big step for Andy because he left his job after 9 years and quit it. And I'm a teacher, so I have summers off, so that was perfect timing.
So you were talking about, taking a year of planning. What are some of the resources you were using, that were helping you plan for this type of trip?
Well, for one, I used some budgeting software just to help us save some money for the road trip. So I used mint.com. And yeah, we just kind of had this goal in mind of doing this road trip. So we kind of set limits on various spending. And another thing that we used a lot, even during the road trip, was a website called freecampsites.net, and that offers a resource where you can find free places to stay. So it's not only campsites, but I mean, it'll have on there like things like a Walmart parking lot that you can bring your camper to and stay there overnight. So that was a super helpful resource throughout the whole road trip.
Okay, and Sarah, when you were also looking at planning, were there some things that you were taking on responsibility from the planning perspective? How did you guys juggle it all?
I think I was doing a lot of the like finding deals at local grocery stores, like I said, and just snagging up any like dehydrated meals that we saw. Or a lot of the times because those dehydrated meals can get really pricey. So we were often finding like the Knorr, the Knorr, the Selects brands. I would often find those and snag those up because those are on sale at grocery stores often. And finding a lot of protein bars in bulk and just kind of really heading that up. And I was also dehydrating some fruits and vegetables in our dehydrator and just planning to bring those on a road trip. And then I would vacuum seal them and they would be preserved for a really long time. And I was also making beef jerky that we brought as well.
I would say that Sarah's kind of attitude of kind of just going with where the road takes you was something that she added to us too. I'm more of a planner. I would have wanted to like spreadsheet the entire route and everything like that. But Sarah's like, no, we're just gonna go. We're gonna head the general direction and, see where it goes.
Very much so. Just kind of be open-minded with what lies ahead. And I think that traveling abroad taught me a lot of those lessons too, but it's just being flexible and leaving the door open for opportunities that could arise. But if you have plans to get to this hotel or get to this campsite, then those opportunities are going to be missed.
So it sounds like, Sarah, that you bring out, a little bit more of I guess the adventurer part in Andy of not that an adventurer, but, just saying, okay, let's take it a little more by the seat of our pants. And sounds like it worked well.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much kind of by the seat of my pants. And yeah, Andy's the planner. And that's one, like, those are our strengths. And that's why it works really well, like, in marriage, but also as we're navigating our business together. We're very opposite in those senses, but it's becoming a really strong a strength that both of us are bringing.
One of our strengths, is the other's maybe weakness. So like the other one can kind of pick up the slack type of things. And with the road trip, I mean, it did take me a little bit to get used to not having a plan of, okay, where are we gonna be headed today? And yeah, so it was kind of a learning experience for me, and it definitely helped me just to like kind of like let go of some of that control that like I'm so used to with my planning and stuff.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think a lot of people struggle with that, especially, the whole point of deciding to take that chance. And it sounds like you were able to do that because you both brought such a great balance to that partnership. So I got to ask, after the 2 months, what did you learn? What did you take back, as you reflected on it a bit?
I think that the other thing that we might have not added before is that we were road tripping with our dog. And road tripping with a dog, it was just something we had never done before. We've done camping, like 5 day backpack trips with her, but we're always in the woods. But when you're road tripping, even just stopping, like you couldn't just stop at a restaurant or a brewery quickly, or even just stopping at a gas station is sometimes hard, because she's also she's a dog that doesn't like other dogs and doesn't like busy areas. So that was kind of a challenge to navigate that, and just trying to, because back in Minnesota, we know the trails we can go on that are going to be less traveled, and those are the trails we go on with her. But when you're going to a bunch of new places, it's kind of learning it each day and taking it day by day on the trail with her. And there were some trails we went on that were particularly busy, and those were high stress times for her and for us, because we didn't want anything bad to happen. So we just really had to watch that. I think that was just kind of eye-opening, being on a road trip with a dog for 2 whole months.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. For one, we visited a few national parks, and many national parks actually don't allow you to hike with your dog on the trails within the park. We found that out west, it was way more common, and maybe that's because of the wildlife activity that those parks have. But out east, like Acadia National Park, you could pretty much take your dog on any trail. So it varies park by park, but most of them that we came across, you could not take your dog down the trail. Another thing that I took away from the road trip was that actually having less on the road trip is better. Or I think even we're kind of applying that to our lives too, is, you know, having less, you kind of have to worry about less. So when we initially packed, we packed a bunch of stuff, and some of the stuff we never even used, but we had it either just in case, or just having the comfort of having that item. But we realized quickly that to get to some of the other things that we actually used a bunch, we had to dig through all of this other junk. So when we came back halfway through the road trip for that wedding back home, we repacked our car, and we packed actually a lot less in our car. And it was a much more enjoyable. We weren't shuffling through our car and taking forever to find an item. So, just having less was more. And we also were able to just enjoy ourselves more, I think. We were able to kind of live more in the moment, because we weren't worried about, you know, having to either shuffle through the car or having the right stuff on us. And we just kind of like went with what we had, and it worked out great. I feel like the more that I backpack and the more experience I gain out there, like the less and less I find myself carrying.
Yeah, I think that's really true too. But yeah, the art of organization on a road trip was an ever learning journey, especially during that first part out east. It was just very messy in the car a lot of the time. So finally, when we went out west, having it organized just made a world of difference. And if people are curious about finding out how we organize the car, there are some articles that they can look at on our website for that.
Okay, great. I'll make sure that I link those in my show notes. But just for the listeners right now, what's the name of your website?
It's hikingthroughlife.net.
All right, great. You talked about the road trip and what you were learning from that. And Andy, you kind of mentioned how it also seemed to be a parallel to backpacking, and how you were learning that less is better. So, Andy, I know you did a through hike of the Superior Hiking Trail. So did that happen after the road trip or before?
It happened after the road trip. I decided that I was going to do it while we were on the road trip. I, for quite some time, have been talking about doing a through hike. During our road trip, though, on some of our hikes, Sarah just came to the conclusion that it wasn't for her. That it, she just didn't want to go through the rigor and being out on the trail that long. So I decided that I really wanted to do it. And I was like, you know, it's the time is perfect now. I don't have a job to go back to. So I kind of have that freedom to do it. So why not do it? And I've always been wanting to do a thru hike ever since I started backpacking.
So Sarah, how did you like, okay, let's get them set up to go on this thru hike. What really was going through your mind?
You know, at first I was actually really hesitant because I thought he was going to go kind of crazy being alone hiking in the woods for like 3 weeks at a time. And especially because like, if you go to something like the Appalachian Trail or the PCT, you'll see a lot more people, but like through hiking up on the Superior Trail is getting more popular, but especially up on the northern area, I was just like, wow, you're not going to see people. You're going to go crazy. I was a little worried for like, just like the mental well-being aspect of it. And the safety aspect of it, just being out there alone, anything can happen. So, and I've never been like a solo hiker, so I've never had that experience and know what that's like. So yeah, I had those worries, but I was totally in support of it after I processed through those thoughts and talked to Andy more about it. And he did have the Garmin GPS that he was able to communicate with me on and message me every day, so I knew he was at his campsite or leaving the campsite each day. But yeah, it was just I was totally the support system from back home, and it was, yeah, like I was a little worried, like I said, but I'm really glad that he went through with it. And I dropped him off at the, to begin the hike, and then picked him up at the end. And I actually had to go out a week after to help him because he was having so many troubles with his feet. So yeah, I was happy to be of support, but it was different from my worried perspective and just not wanting to do that. Because for me, yeah, like I realized I didn't want to go through hike, especially when we were out on the road trip doing like a 4-day backpacking trip. I had this realization when we were on the long trail that doing this for 4 days is awesome. I love it. It's really rejuvenating for 4 days. But after 4 or 5 days, I'm just ready to kind of have some comforts again. And I want it to be something that I'm enjoying enough. And I just think during a through hike, from what I've read in so many memoirs, is there are a lot of struggles. And I think mentally, I'm just not ready for that yet.
Sarah, I think that's an important point. And you don't have to necessarily ever want to do a through hike in that regard. Doesn't make a difference in, you know, that you still enjoy hiking, that you still enjoy some, you know, backpacking and things like that. So I think I can relate to that as a fellow hiker. I definitely want more of the few day experience rather than, you know, a few months. But you never know. Things may change for you as well.
Yeah.
And Andy, yeah. So what was it like for you? Because, you know, you and Sarah, you know, have been partners and always on the trail together. And for you to take this solo adventure, how did that feel for you?
Because it was my first solo trip. Like you said, I was always used to going with Sarah, or even before Sarah, I was always used to going with friends. So I didn't quite know what to expect. So there was maybe some nerves there. But I was also like super excited at the same time. I knew that after I got into the hike, after a couple days, then it would be a breeze. It was just, I guess those expectations, and you're running through in your head, okay, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. And actually it was quite different from what I had conjured up in my head before the hike. I thought for sure I was going to be kind of alone for like maybe about the first week or so. I would, you know, cross some other hikers, but I was anticipating just being alone at the campsite, and I was okay with that. And that's why I chose to go southbound on the Superior hiking trail, because the northernmost part is the most desolate. And I figured, okay, by the end of 3 weeks, I'll be kind of craving some human interaction where I would get that more in the southern part of the trail. there was, I guess, more interaction at the beginning than I thought. I actually met a woman hiker who was also going southbound through hiking the trail the first day, and we had camped pretty much at the same campsites for maybe the first week. So I did have some company on the trail, and we were able to kind of just share stories and kind of discuss the whole through hike. We didn't necessarily hike each day together, but we ended up at the same campsites pretty much every night that first week. So that was a bit unexpected, and I did enjoy that though.
So Sarah mentioned that you had some foot problems crop up about a week in. So what happened there?
It rained pretty much that first week I was on the trail, pretty much every day or night. So the trail was soaked and my boots got soaked. My feet swelled up from hiking. I was averaging about 15 miles a day and my boots got too tight. The back of my heels started rubbing in the boot, and by the fifth day they started rubbing raw, and so I needed to switch out my footwear because I could barely even get my feet into my boots anymore. And so I think just having my feet being so wet and doing all of those miles day in and day out, it led to them kind of rubbing raw from some of the friction and the tightness of the boot. So like Sarah had mentioned, she came up that first weekend, so a week into my hike, and she actually brought me into town, and I switched out my boots for trail runners. So my thinking of switching out from my boots to trail runners was that I've heard that they just dry out quicker than boots. And then I also, when I was trying them on at the store versus a boot, they offered some more flexibility. So like my feet could move a little bit more in them. And so when my feet did swell or kind of go back to normal, there would be some more give in that versus a more rigid boot. And it worked out well because it did in fact dry out way quicker. So there were times where it had rained in the morning. By the afternoon though, they would be dry. Whereas prior to that with my boots, they took a couple days before they would dry out.
So going through all of that, was there a point when you were feeling miserable that you thought, well, maybe I'll quit? Or did that even cross your mind?
Yeah, actually, there were a few moments when I was questioning whether it was worth it to keep going on the trail with my feet in the condition that they were in. And when Sarah had come up to help me out, and I told her, you know, should I just go home with you? You're already up here. But she looked at me and she said, well, this is through hiker life, you know, deal with it. And gave me some of that tough love, but it was like exactly what I needed to hear, because I mean, being out on the trail, I was just going over and over in my mind, like, I should just go home. I should just go home. Like I was literally like shuffling down the trail before I had met up with Sarah, because every time I would bend to my ankle, my foot would rub inside my boot.
That's making my feet hurt right now. That's really, oh, and Sarah, I got to ask you, I mean, so it's great that you gave them the tough love, you know, but did you have a moment where you just wanted to say, come on home?
Yeah. I mean, part of me did just want to have him come home because, yeah, being alone in a house for 3 weeks was getting a little lonely and nerve wracking. I mean, I did have the dog, but yeah, part of me wanted him to, but I still just wanted him to live out this dream of this through hike he had been dreaming of for so long. And I wanted to support that. And I knew that through hikers, because I read so many memoirs on it, I knew through hikers had those really low days. He just needed that reminder from me. And yeah, but part of me did want him, you know, to come back.
And Andy, I mean, it sounds like Sarah gave you, like you said, the right advice when you needed it. So you get back on the trail, and did things go well after that?
Yeah, I was able to. I ended up taking a 0 day after I switched out my footwear and just rested my feet. That definitely helped out a lot, and I was able to tend to them. Sarah brought up some first aid stuff too, so I was able to kind of bandage them up. And then I also used some moleskin, and that helped out way better than what I was previously doing, was just wrapping it up in athletic tape, and that wasn't working out as well. It wasn't sticking as well to my feet, so I was having problems with that slipping all the time. But yeah, the moleskin definitely helped out a lot, and I also put that in some other areas where some blisters were starting, and it helped prevent the friction, and they didn't get any worse after that.
Coming from the thru hike, it sounds like it altered also maybe what you thought about, in relation to what you want to take with you, your gear. What were the key takeaways for you from hiking this trail?
I would say that some of the takeaways I had were calorie intake. I noticed that I was losing some weight, and I never really felt like that energy deficient. But I totally knew that I was operating on pretty big calorie deficit, and I didn't really plan my meals out. I kind of just went into it like we always do, and just packed kind of how we would do for like a small section for like 3 days or something. But hiking like 5 or 8 miles instead of the 15 that I was doing. So I think I would pay more attention to the calories I'm intaking. I would also pay some attention to just what your body's telling you initially, because I was in the first couple of days just kind of toughing through the feet stuff, and it progressively got worse. And instead of stopping bandaging up, maybe hiking less miles, I just kept pushing on, and I think that aggravated my feet a little bit more than I should have. So just kind of listening to your body and, taking the time to take care of it. Because the other thing too is I was really not planning to take a rest day, a 0 day, because I thought in my head it's relatively short compared to something like the AT. It's only going to be 3 weeks. I can push through it, and that really wasn't the case. I needed to really change my mindset, and it really took me kind of, like I said, shuffling down the trail to really adhere to, hey, I need to stop for a moment, take care of the body, and just like not have this mindset of, oh, just keep pushing, keep pushing.
So now that you've did the Superior Hiking Trail, do you have the thru hiker bug? Is there another trail that you have your eye set on, or?
Yeah, I do have the thru hiker bug, and I mean, I guess there's a lot of trails I would want to do. I think is the Long Trail out in Vermont. I really liked that when we did a section of that during our road trip, and that's a real relatively same timeline as the Superior Hiking Trail too. I mean, they're pretty close distance wise. Superior Hiking Trail being 310 miles, the Long Trail 270 something, I believe. But the Long Trail is a bit more challenging with some more elevation gain than the Superior Hiking Trail, so.
And maybe Sarah, you get to go out.
Yeah, and do a section with him. I would do that. The Long Trail is actually, that's where we were this summer, and that's the trail we were on when I realized, like, I'm so like miserable after day four. I was just like, I don't want to do this day in and day out for 20 days. But yeah, I would totally go join him for a section out there.
And yeah, Andy, she could be like your support team.
Yeah, like a little trail angel.
That's true, your own personal trail angel. Did you do the Superior Hiking Trail this past summer, or when did you finish that?
I did it in September, so we got back from this past August, and then a couple weeks later, I headed out for the thru hike on, it was September 8th, I believe I started, and then I finished it up at the end of September.
Okay, so not too long ago, actually, just a few months.
It seems quite a while ago, though.
And so through all this time, were you also doing the podcast?
We were in the thru hike. I was recording some things while I was out on the trail. I haven't released any of that. I was planning to do kind of like a update every day, but that turned into some days it was video updates, some days it was audio recordings, some days I just took notes on my phone. So Sarah was back home and we weren't really necessarily doing the podcast like we are now. We started regularly doing it after the thru hike where I, well, Sarah pretty much does it where we interview some people about how the outdoors has influenced them in some way or another.
Yeah, and that's another thing where that's a strength of mine where I find the people to interview. I reach out to them and I talk with them and I pretty much guide the interviews. And then Andy kind of is the tech support behind it all and does all the audio editing and cleans it up.
So, what gave you the, I guess, the idea to start the podcast? What were you hoping to do with it?
It started on the road trip because on the road trip we met a few people along the way, either through social media or people we met on the trail, and they just had really interesting stories. Like on the long trail, we met a woman named Dawn who was on her first solo backpacking trip. And I just thought that was really cool, and I wanted to hear the why behind it. Like, why did she decide to do this? What's her motivation? And that was one of our first podcasts. And then there was also another guy, a friend that we have out in Maine, who we interviewed. And it's just really exciting to meet people with these stories that are somehow inspired by the outdoors. And I think that everyone has a story to share. And the more we can talk about their stories, the more motivated other people can become to get outdoors and live their dreams. And it's just been a really cool journey to hear people's backgrounds. And yeah, like Andy said, when he was on the thru hike, we weren't doing a whole lot. We kind of realized like this is something that we want to keep going with, and we want to keep finding these people and hear their stories. So yeah, it kind of started more so in October is when we really started diving into it. So it's still a new endeavor, but we're navigating through it and learning new things every day.
And do you find it motivating? I guess talking to these other hikers and adventurers, is it motivating you to do some new things as well?
Totally, yeah. And just realizing that the outdoors can mean so much to so many people. Like there was one girl we interviewed who does a lot of crocheting out on lakes and out on trails. And just hearing that you don't need to go on these in-depth, intense hikes to be uplifted by the outdoors or have that healing power of the outdoors. So just hearing those stories and realizing that, yeah, I can just go sit outside and breathe in the nature, and I don't need to be on this crazy long hike up north. I can be empowered in so many ways. And that's another really good reminder that I'm getting from this podcast. And talking to naturalists has been a really educational experience as well, because those are things that we always want to know more about when we're out on the trail, but we don't have a background in that, so getting some knowledge from Minnesota naturalists has been really great as well.
So I know when we were communicating before the episode, you had mentioned that you're both also doing a Minnesota state challenge. So what are you guys doing with the Minnesota state parks?
So there's a passport club. So there's two parts to it, the passport club, and then there's also the hiking club. So we are part of both of them. And the passport club is you go to a state park and they have these little stamp stations right at their office, and you can stamp it and date it. And then we recently just went to our 25th state park. So that means we got a free night of camping at a state park. And then when we go to another, when we reach 71 state parks, we will get another free night of camping.
So how many state parks are there in Minnesota?
71.
Oh, 71. So that's the, if you do all 71, you get another free night.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really cool program, and it's just kind of motivates you, and it's a little challenge to get to all these state parks.
And I think the other thing that we did it for actually was more, we had some maybe preconceived notions of like, oh, this isn't going to be the densely wooded type that we enjoy. Like there are some like in southwestern Minnesota that are more plains and prairie type that, I mean, just didn't initially excite us, but we did visit those last year, and actually we were surprised by the various beauty, and we just had this
image in our heads of what southern Minnesota was.
Right, and we never really gravitated towards that, but yeah, this got us there, and we actually enjoyed it more than we thought we were going to.
What's really cool about being part of the hiking club is that they also give you this travel log, and you can kind of write down your memories from that trip. So you can write down the dates you visited it, what activities you did there, and then there's a whole area where you can enter what you'll remember about this visit. And the very first thing we wrote about the first park we visited on this journey was, this state park was beyond our expectations. They had really good campsites, and the overlook was beautiful. So it just kind of is a reminder that you loved that park, and it's a great resource to go back to if you want to go back to that park.
So I liked how you had mentioned that having this state challenge allowed you to go to different parts of Minnesota that maybe you wouldn't have in the past, you know, or mentioned that you didn't think it would be as beautiful as what it ended up being. So what other things do you feel like you may have, gotten from doing this challenge?
Before this, we would find ourselves often going to the same trails, maybe different sections of the same trails. So this definitely got us out and got us to these state parks more. And I think that is great because then we would spend some of the money on camp, participating in some of the activities that the parks offer. Whereas I think before this challenge that we started participating in, we were, I guess, maybe less inclined to do that.
Yeah, definitely. We would often just go to state parks that were maybe an hour away from our house. But now we're able to go to ones that are like 3-4 hours away from our house and go to sections of the state where there are like 5 state parks within an hour of each other. There was one weekend, the teachers have this break called MEA. So I had like a 5-day weekend. So we went to like 8 state parks in 4 days and just checked off a bunch of state parks and got a ton of stamps. And we were just able to see a whole part of the state that, yeah, we wouldn't definitely not have otherwise seeked out if it wasn't for this motivation.
And I got to ask, Andy, are you doing a spreadsheet for this, or is there any of the planning on your end?
Actually, when you join the two programs in Minnesota, they actually give you a lot of the resources for you. So they already have these kind of spreadsheets, if you will. I mean, they're more booklets. And so you can track all your stuff there. And yeah, we've been taking a ton of notes during that weekend that Sarah just explained, where we hit like 8 of these in a few days. I definitely did have a bit of a Google Maps planned out. Okay, we're going to go this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. So that was fun to do because we pretty much hit the whole southern part of Minnesota. And yeah, that was it's nice to kind of check them off within these books too, so you can kind of see, okay, well, we've done this one, we've done that one. And then the other thing is this hiking club one that I don't think Sarah explained, but it's kind of that second part. And both of these you can in Minnesota sign up for separately, so you don't have to do the passport and hiking club. I think they're both around like $15 a piece to join, but they're pretty cool. With the hiking club, each state park has a hiking club designated trail, and halfway through the trail, they give you this password on a sign. So it's kind of your proof that you actually hiked the trail, is you write down the password, get it verified by a park ranger, and after a certain amount of mileages, you also get a free night stay at a state park. So that's pretty cool. And then they have some patches that they give you for some milestones too, like 25-mile patch, 50-mile patch, and so on. So that's pretty cool.
And do you know how many miles will you get at the end? Or is there a target mileage?
There's a 175-mile patch that you can receive.
But then there's one that's all miles patch, so I believe there's probably a little over 175.
Oh, wow. So there's still a lot of things that you can do to kind of fulfill that, checking off, you know, the next challenge when it comes to the state park system.
Yeah, exactly. And the neat thing is that the trails, the hiking club trails, range from 2 miles all the way up to 6.5 miles. Actually, 1 mile all the way up to 6.5 miles. So it varies a lot through all of the state parks across Minnesota.
Oh, that sounds great for families or for someone who's just getting into hiking.
Exactly. I think it's great.
So tell me about what's next. Besides, you know, doing the state challenges and maybe Andy thinking about the long trail, what do you have planned for the podcast? What are some things that you're looking forward to?
So we're going to be continuing the podcast and seeking out people that we find really interesting to come share their stories on our podcast. And then also we have started collaborating with some other people through social media, not necessarily hiking people, but just other people that are living out their passions. Like there is one group that we recently met up with. They're big beer bloggers. And we're thinking about doing a hike and beer meetup with them. So working on collaborating with people. And then eventually we would love to get into guiding and helping trip plan for people. But that's probably not for the far future. But that's something we're going to start diving into this winter and researching more of.
Well, I think you have a lot of great resources from your trip, like you said, your summer trip, your road trip, and especially kind of road tripping with your dog, and as well as kind of people who are just starting out, you know, backpacking.
This summer too, even before our road trip, we were taking some friends and family out on backpacking trips and taking them on backpacking and canoeing trips, actually. Those experiences were really helpful for us because we, like I said, we want to eventually start guiding and leading trips. So bringing out friends and family has been a really awesome endeavor, and it's taught us some lessons and just helped us realize that we need to slow down when we're out there with people for their first time.
Oh, no, that's a good point.
Yeah, we were so used to going really fast paced and just like getting in these miles and getting to the site. But it was really a great experience to bring people on their first trip. So, I just wanted to share that bringing people out on the first time, it just really was a reminder that everybody, when they're out on their first experience, even if you have loads and years of experience, just remember putting yourselves in their shoes. This is their first time, and just making sure they have the most memorable and positive experience so they want to keep coming back.
Yeah, you guys work so well together. So how was it to kind of put that dynamic to test with including, you know, friends and family on the backpacking trips and canoeing? Did that challenge you in any way?
I think the challenge for us, like Sarah had mentioned, was just taking ourselves out and reminding ourselves that these people have never experienced this before, and we wanted to make it an enjoyable, really positive experience for them and not maybe make it too challenging. So I had the fun of doing the trip planning for that, finding canoe routes in the boundary waters that kind of gave you a little bit of everything, but weren't too challenging. And that one was a success. Also backpacking trips, for our family and friends that again, weren't too challenging, but you also got some incredible views and some great campsites and stuff like that. So I think that's one thing that we complement each other in too, is I'm more of that technical, like, gear planning, trip planning, and Sarah's into the food and the comforts and like the making sure everyone is having a good time.
Yeah, just kind of that friendly guide along the way and kind of motivating people and having a conversation with them and just really being their supportive trail companion out there is what I really enjoy doing with our family and friends.
Well, as you mentioned, I think that was perfect practice. And as you guys continue to do that and work towards maybe, you know, putting together a guiding service or, you know, in the future, this has given you some amazing insight into what you need to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you thought, I know, Sarah, that you love to read a lot of the trail memoirs and things like that, but have you guys considered writing a book together?
We haven't really considered it that much because, yeah, we do blog a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if down the road that's something we endeavor, but we are finding that the podcasting is definitely becoming a passion of ours right now versus the writing. But it could be something that we come up with down the road. I could see it in the future.
How about you, Andy?
Yeah, I would say for me, I think eventually down the road, there might be something. But I like, I guess I like more of the blogging aspect and putting up resources for people on our site and that kind of thing versus maybe a book. But maybe there will be a book of our stories.
How do people get in touch with you? I know we mentioned the website, but if people are interested in maybe sharing their story with you, getting on your podcast, or just connecting to talk about hiking, what are some ways that they can get in touch?
Yeah, we have, I mean, right on our website, hikingthroughlife.net, there is a form people can fill out if they are interested in being on our podcast. We'll get in contact with them. Otherwise, we are on Instagram, Hiking Through Life. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. They can email us at hikingthroughlife@gmail.com. So there's a lot of social media platforms where people can get in touch with us.
Yeah, and all of those links to our social media can be found on our website, hikingthroughlife.net.
So I want to say thank you both, Sarah and Auntie, for coming on, for just sharing part of your story. I think it's a great to see couples that complement each other and love the outdoors. So definitely I'm inspired by just the coordination that you both have, the passion that you have, and I look forward to following your adventures throughout the coming year.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're excited to follow your journey too. You have a really cool thing going on with your hike magazine.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you have some neat stuff. We'd love to have you on our podcast eventually too.
Yes, well, I would definitely be honored to be on your show. So yeah, we'll definitely have to figure that one out too. Thanks again, Sarah and Andy, for sharing your story with my listeners. Go ahead and check out what they're doing at Hiking Through Life. It's been great to focus on the Midwest and to bring you some amazing stories about the region that I live in. I've still got more of those in store for you, but starting in October, I'll be bringing you additional stories about through hiking, about the Canadian Rockies, road tripping in the Pacific Northwest. So stay tuned. And if you have a story to share, drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. So until next time, see you on the trail.